If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today. Many of you know Axis deer is considered to be the best tasting venison on the planet. I've been hearing that for years. And that those deer cause some ecological harm. Well, Maui Nui Venison is bringing those Axis deer to the market. So you can get some fresh cuts and sticks shipped to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I Venison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Hayden Samick, Randall Williams, and Mike Kunz. Now, Mike, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia. How do you feel about your chances?
Pretty poor.
Okay. Why is that?
Because I never played it before.
Oh, that's a good reason. Now, Steve.
Steve, for anyone listening, Mike discovered the Mesa site.
Yeah. You can hear him on Monday's episode.
He discovered the Mesa site, a Paleo-Indian site in Arctic Alaska.
Steve has a theory that when it comes to Meat Eater Trivia, the older you are, the better you'll perform. So I think you have an advantage today.
He's the oldest player we've ever had.
Would you share your age?
80.
80. I think that beats our oldest player by probably 20 years, at least. Yeah. So welcome to the show, Mike. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the bone that I throw to guests. Now, Mike, when we get playing here, one of the 10 one of the 10 questions is going to be firmly in your wheelhouse. You'll recognize it when it comes up. We're going to look at a stat about what that means. This happens when a Meat Eater podcast guest is kind enough to stick around and play trivia, and I give them one question that's squarely in their wheelhouse. Now, for the other 9 questions asked, our trivia guests have a 34% chance of getting the correct answer. But for the bone that I throw to guests, they have an 89% chance of getting the correct
bone
answer.
Works.
That means guest performance increases by 55% on the questions where I throw them a bone.
Damn.
So you have an 89% chance today of getting at least one question right, Mike. I like your odds.
Yeah, they're good.
Now we have some housekeeping to get to before we play. In a previous episode, we had a question about how many states east of the Rocky Mountains have huntable populations of mule deer. The correct answer was 6, and those states were North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. But a few listeners wrote in saying that Texas is actually considered part of the Rocky Mountain Range.
Oh, now, the Davis Mountains.
Davis Mountains and the down Guadalupe. Yeah. Now, when I Googled this, the sites that I could find making this claim were mostly from Texas, like the Texas Historical Association and Texas Monthly Magazine. On the contrary, places like the U.S. Geological Survey, Encyclopedia Britannica, and New World Encyclopedia all define the Rocky Mountains as ending in New Mexico. The Encyclopedia Britannica admits that the Rocky Mountain mapping can be arbitrary, but that if the line isn't drawn at Albuquerque, New Mexico, then it could theoretically stretch as far north as Alaska and as far south as South America. Instead, most consider this greater region to be the American Cordillera, which is a parent
Cordillera.
Mountain. How do I say it?
Cordillera.
Cordillera.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That'd be a good trivia question.
Which is a parent mountain range for smaller ranges such as the Rockies, Sierra Nevadas, Cascades, and Brooks Range. Now, I'll concede that the question introduces some subjective mapping, but I'm going to stick with my guns that Texas is not a Rocky Mountain state, and thus there are six states east of the Rocky Mountains that have huntable mule deer populations.
Classic Texas, man.
They just want it all. Very predictable.
Yeah.
They want it all.
Now, Mike, you have some experience in that part of the country around New Mexico. Would you count Texas as being a Rocky Mountain state? What do you think of that?
Absolutely not.
Okay, good. Then we have our firm answer. Why is that? Why is it not a Rocky Mountain state?
Because it isn't.
Perfectly said. That's why we have you here. Now, the Shelby Index for this round is a 3.5, so our winner should get about 7 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one. The topic is hunting, and as always, this will be multiple choice. What body part is often associated with a dork stamp? Is it eye, forearm, shin, or shoulder? Again, the topic is hunting.
What's a dork stamp?
The topic is hunting. The question is, what body part is often associated with a dork stamp? Your choices are eye, forearm, shin, or shoulder. Nobody knew this one.
Oh,
the room looks agitated. Steve has it, he thinks.
Do them in order again.
Okay, we're looking for what body part is associated with a dork stamp. Is it eye, forearm, shin, or shoulder?
Here's the problem I have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just wait.
Okay.
What? Does everyone know what a dork stamp is?
Listen, I'm not going to talk about it, man, because it's like a trivia game, dude.
Choices, eye, forearm, shin, shoulder. The room is agitated.
After we get through this, are you going to explain what this has to do with hunting?
I got a whole lot of questions.
Does everybody have an angry answer?
I'm angry. I'm confused.
Good?
I don't like the way this one's starting.
Go ahead.
A tramp stamp?
Go ahead and reveal your answer.
Why is it hunting?
We have Steve saying shin.
Oh, but it should have been
eye.
We have
Mike saying shoulder. Brody saying shin.
Can I change mine to
I? Hayden saying I. Randall saying I. And Seth
it's when you get scoped
I.
by a rifle.
Oh.
The correct answer is I.
Damn. Oh, good. You know why I wrote shin? I thought it was like a tramp stamp, but for guys. And I thought maybe you're dorky if you get a tattoo on your shin.
Here's what we got. The phrase dork stamp refers to when a rifle's recoil causes the scope to hit a person's eye or nose. Other phrases that describe this injury include scope eye, scope bite, or eye ring. A Wyoming sheriff said in a 2022 article on themeateater.com that a prominent dork stamp on an elk hunter accused of assault helped them identify and arrest the subject.
So it's like a widely used term is what you're
saying? Yeah, so I Googled it to make sure. I found it on forums. I found it in articles. We had this sheriff who was quoted on themeateater.com saying dork stamp is what helped them catch this criminal.
Can we just start
Wouldn't it be great if we just clarified that in the beginning?
Well, now, why would I clarify that, Hayden? It would tell you what the answer is.
Well, you just ask us to guess a random thing that nobody's ever heard of.
Well, this is the mind of an editor. He's going for common usage. He's looking at all this.
Thank you, Randall.
Randall, did you get that one right?
I did.
Well done.
I didn't know.
Question two.
I've had them.
You had them. Did you have a name for it at the time?
Ow.
Okay. That works too. Now you can call it a dork stamp. Question two. The topic is public land. This great question comes to us via Alex Wise. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What introduced big game animal killed a hiker at Olympic National Park in 2010? What introduced big game animal killed a hiker at Olympic National Park in 2010? Quick answers from most of the room. You boys just know this one.
Yep.
Okay.
No question.
You remember when it happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, mm-hmm. What introduced big game animal killed a hiker at Olympic National Park in 2010?
I would have wrote that even different. I know it, but I would have still wrote it different.
Mike, do you have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying mountain goat. Mike, without an answer. The rest of the room saying mountain goat. They got it right. The correct answer was mountain goat. Now, I think that's easier for you, Steve. What years were you in Seattle, maybe?
That's not why I know it.
Okay. The 63-year-old hiker was having lunch on a backcountry trail when he was gored to death by a rutting mountain goat. After attacking the man, the goat then stood guard over his body for 15 minutes, all while being pelted with rocks from fellow hikers. The animal was killed a few days later by park rangers who had been monitoring the goat for years because of reports from hikers who said it would follow them and act territorial.
I like that they say it stood guard over his body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know what he's going to do with him. Question three. The topic is fishing. What 116-pound state record was set in Arkansas by an angler who was using spam as bait? What 116-pound state record was set in Arkansas by an angler who was using spam as bait?
Is this one of those questions?
If you think the answer is white-tail deer, you need to write white-tail deer. Okay, deer would not be good enough.
That's exactly the example I was going to use.
What 116-pound state record was set in Arkansas by an angler who was using spam as bait?
Oh, man.
How you feel about your odds on this one, Brody?
I got it 50, down to 50. Yeah, I'm 50-50. You know, I can't decide what are my answers I'm going to eliminate to create the right answer.
Okay. Seth, you ever fish with spam?
No.
Nope. Sticking with my first answer.
Not opposed to it.
Okay. Does everybody have
Bro,
an answer?
Bro, you show me your plate, dude. I didn't look.
Sorry.
Does everybody have an answer about the 116-pound state record that was set by using spam?
I got to decide. I'm going to, listen, do me the favor reading the one I have scratched.
You can do that.
So people know that I was close.
Okay. Brody, how we doing?
I got a lot of fans out there.
Well, I was going to go with my first answer, and now I'm thinking about changing it. But
are you going to do the scribble trick as well? Do we need to acknowledge your backup answer?
No, I'm just leaving what I got.
Okay. Oh,
stick with your gut.
Randall?
I'm going to change it.
Last second change.
Ooh, last second change.
Is everybody ready?
Still looking on.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying alligator and his answer that he scribbled out was blue cat. Mike saying catfish.
No,
Brody saying flathead catfish. Hayden saying flathead catfish. He crossed out gar. Randall saying alligator gar. Seth saying blue catfish.
Copy for it.
We have a correct answer in the room. It's blue catfish.
Oh, really? I had it.
That's what I just erased.
Right. Son of a bitch. Who had it?
Me. Seth got it
Seth's
right.
Seth's having a great game.
The 116-pound blue cat was caught by Charles Ashley Jr. in the Mississippi River in 2001. He said Hormel Spam was his dad and granddad's favorite bait and that they'd been using it for decades to catch catfish.
How's he getting it on the hook?
You know, I've seen folks where they, like, freeze it, and then they'll, like, freeze the circle hook in it. I don't know if he was doing
that
or not.
When we used to do a bunch of catfishing, we would put bait that wouldn't stick together in a nylon stocking and then, like, cinch it down real tight and
like
then just hook
like
through
the
stocking.
Like a spawn sack. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
The blue cat is the state's third biggest record fish, finishing behind a 215-pound alligator gar and 118-pound paddlefish.
Ooh, no one even thought of paddlefish.
Well, I hope you wouldn't answer that.
They're
filthy, spam.
They don't get spam. They're known for their distaste for spam.
Question four. The topic is anthropology.
Ooh.
The National Park Service defines this type of ancient art as, quote, images painted onto rock surfaces. Again, the topic is anthropology. The National Park Service defines this type of ancient art as, quote, images painted onto rock surfaces. Quick answers from the whole room.
Mike, this is you getting thrown a bone.
This is you getting thrown a bone. That's right.
But I feel like when you throw the bone, like it should, the guest should have a higher an probability advantage of getting it than everyone else.
So I'm going to address that in a future episode too. We'll look at how the room does against our guest.
Oh, that'd be
for
great
that question.
Stat, man.
Does everybody have an answer?
That'd be great stat.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying pictograph, Mike saying petroglyph, Brody saying pictograph, Hayden saying petroglyph, Randall saying pictograph, Seth saying pictograph.
One's when you carve it and one's when you draw it. Yeah,
the correct answer is pictograph.
Pictograph.
A petroglyph is carved, etched.
The National Park Service says pictographs are images that have been painted onto rock surfaces. Petroglyphs are images that have been carved into rock surfaces. And hieroglyphs are images that represent words which have been carved, then sometimes painted, into rock surfaces. Because pictographs were made with archaic paint, they are much more prone to weathering than petroglyphs. Mike, what's your experience with pictographs and petroglyphs? I feel like New Mexico is just littered with those things, right?
Yeah. But you left out one category.
What's that?
Where they're etched into the rock and also painted.
Ah, what would that be then? The hieroglyph?
I don't know. See, this is real.
The National Park Service, again, you had an issue. You had an issue with their diary.
He pulls a lot of shit from the Park Service, man. That's what
I don't take them verbatim for anything.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is a
Did you come across any pictographs or petroglyphs in Alaska, or do they just like not exist?
They didn't do
up
that
there,
did they?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but totem poles almost serve the same purpose.
Oh, yeah.
But New Mexico just had all sorts of them.
Oh, yeah.
And they probably weather well there.
Yeah.
Because of the lack of moisture.
I imagine. Question 5. The topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us via Matt Kilpatrick. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What auto brand sold Outdoorsman Edition pickups in 1985 that came with a Winchester rifle? What auto brand sold Outdoorsman Edition pickups in 1985 that came with a Winchester rifle? A quick answer from Seth. Seth, do you know this one?
No.
Again, the topic is hunting.
I don't know it.
Question is from Matt Kilpatrick. What auto brand sold Outdoorsman Edition pickups in 1985 that came with a Winchester rifle? Steve, what was your first vehicle that you drove?
1976 half-ton Chevy.
Mm.
Made 2 years after I was born. Bought it for $600 at the corner of Ryerson and Riley Thompson.
Now, how did you come across that thing? You like that?
It was parked at that corner. Angled.
And how long did that scoot you around for?
Man, dude, I didn't have it long, and we were Bajan through Manistee National Forest, and this kid named Brian Peterson was riding in the back, and I went to try to hand a beer to him through the slide window and crashed into an oak tree.
Oh, no.
And sold it to a local gearhead named Matt. Sold it to a local gearhead named Matt Jones for $100, and this dude could fix anything and make anything. And it wasn't like a week later, he's driving around that truck. Looked like the day I bought it. Pissed me off. No end.
Did dad get the full story that you were handing a beer back to the dude in the tailgate?
So. No, I could take and show you the tree I hit.
It's funny that Bajan.
If you take Ryerson out, cross Cedar Creek, and then take the first left, right there, not 300 yards down the road, I'd show you the oak tree.
It's funny that Bajan seems like a universal term. Like,
oh, yeah. The other day I was Bajan in Baja.
Huh. Yeah. Good on you. Does everybody have an answer for the auto brand?
Of all places.
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying Dodge. We have Mike saying Ford. Brody saying Chevy. Hayden saying Ford. Randall saying GMC. Seth saying Dodge. The correct answer is Chevy.
Damn it.
We had somebody get it right. Was it Brody?
Yeah.
Well done. Brody, did you know that one, or was it just
not
a guess?
Not at all.
Is it just anybody's game right now,
well,
Phil?
Well, we'll get a scoreboard update after this factoid.
I thought it was Dodge, because Dodge makes an Outdoorsman now.
Mm-hmm.
And they also make a Power Wagon, which was like... Mm-hmm. They made
that Power Wagon back in the 80s?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't give you a rifle with it, though. The Outdoorsman Edition Chevy with the hunting package came with a Silverado pickup, Winchester Model 94, rifle scope, gun rack, gun case, safety glasses, and more. Both the truck and gun are now considered rare collectibles. I was able to find one of the pickups that sold in 2016 for $25,000 and one of the rifles that sold in 2020 for $1,300.
Wow.
Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Sure thing. We've got Mike in last place with 0 points. Steve and Hayden are rolling up next with 2 points apiece.
Oh, my God.
Randall and Brody have 3, and Seth is in first place with 4 points.
Wow, Seth.
Mm. Seth Morris.
Now,
Seth can win. Oh, he has
won. When we sat down to play, before the mics turned on, Seth said, "Now, Randall, you know I won last time, right?" So
he's on a roll.
He's feeling. He's on a heater.
We'll see. Don't jinx me.
You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out, the Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down, so you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold statement. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food's going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. Hey, everybody, I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with. And my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MEATEATER, and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MeatEater. That's a good deal.
Question 6. The topic is conservation. The acronym NIMBY, which is often used when discussing wind turbines and solar farms, means what? The acronym NIMBY, N-I-M-B-Y, which is often used when discussing wind turbines and solar farms, means what? Quick answers from Brody and Steve. They seem confident.
And Randall.
And Randall. Randall, you got this one right?
Yes.
Okay. Seth, without an answer. Hayden and Mike look like they don't know it. Again, the acronym NIMBY, which is often used when discussing wind turbines and solar farms, means what? N-I-M-B-Y. Brody, you knew this one?
Immediately.
Okay, you didn't even need any context clues. Same with Steve. No. Just knew what NIMBY meant.
You know Steve knows it when he's not talking.
Yeah, I don't want to slip up, man.
How do you know when he doesn't know it?
Oh, I can just tell. I just start talking.
Okay.
I start trying to pry a little conversation, get something started, you know, get something fired up.
Yep.
Can you read that question one more time?
The acronym NIMBY, which is often used when discussing wind turbines and solar farms, means what? N-I-M-B-Y. Did that help you, Hayden?
No.
Okay.
All right, let's flip them over.
Yeah, because
you going to come up with an answer, Seth?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
I've been saying that longer than there's been wind turbines and solar farms.
We have Steve saying, not in my backyard.
Oh, yeah, I want to go.
Mike, right, without an answer. Brody saying, not in my backyard. Hayden without an answer. Randall saying, not in my backyard. And Seth without an answer. They got it. The correct answer is not in my backyard. The acronym NIMBY first appeared in the 1970s when communities in New Hampshire and Michigan were considering building nuclear power stations. The phrase refers to a person who says their quality of life or property value will be affected by a large-scale project. Besides wind turbines and solar farms, NIMBYism is often associated with things like landfills, meat processing plants, airports, and low-income housing.
Yeah, and it's usually associated, like, when you say that, it's usually that the person theoretically supports that sort of thing.
Sure.
It'd be like someone who's like, oh, renewable energy, of course. Right. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about a solar array in you know, your neighborhood?
Yeah.
Wow, and, you know, it's not the ideal location.
NIMBYism. Question 7. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Mackenzie Kepner. For sending this great question, Mackenzie is going to get a book signed by Steve. Now, this is a visual question. If you want to see what the room is seeing, then go to Instagram and check out at Spencer Newharth. I'll make it my most recent post. Here is a famous 1-minute clip of a dead sperm whale being eviscerated with dynamite. You need to tell me what state it happened in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like this video.
Screams of terror.
All right, Fred, you can take your hands out of your ears. Here comes Chase's sperm whale. Chase, are you there?
Our camera stopped rolling immediately after the blast. The humor of the entire situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere. Pieces of meat passed high over our heads while others were falling at our feet. The dunes were rapidly evacuated as spectators escaped both the falling debris and the overwhelming smell. A parked car over a quarter of a mile from the blast site was the target of one large chunk. The passenger compartment literally smashed.
Can I watch that very carefully?
Again, you need to tell me where that dead sperm whale was eviscerated with dynamite. Had you folks seen that clip before?
Yeah, man.
I just love that moment where everybody like kind of puts together that the blubber chunks are coming for him.
I'd have had my mouth open, man.
Steve, did you pick up anything from that video that you think will help you?
No, but if I watched it real careful, like the folks at home are going to do, I probably would have found it.
You think you'd learn it? Okay. Yeah,
I wanted to look for license plates.
Yeah, I would have done the vegetative
analysis.
Stop
the video at a certain point on purpose.
Yeah,
again, you need to tell me what state that took place in.
And I would have looked at that little channel that was broadcasting.
That's what I was
giving that a good long thought.
I was waiting for the journalist to sign off. So-and-so Channel 2 News.
Cut it off.
From Arizona.
A particular spot. Yeah, put Arizona. Does everybody have an answer? Seth? Yeah. A lot on the line. You feeling the
Does
pressure?
Does anyone flat out know it? No, okay.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. What does that say, Steve?
It says California. What the hell do you think it says?
I thought it said North Carolina. It says California. We have Mike saying Washington.
You guys got it right.
Brody saying New Jersey. Hayden saying Massachusetts. Randall saying Oregon. Seth saying Oregon. We have a correct answer in the room. It's Oregon.
Oh,
Randall
oh,
and Seth God. Got it right.
That O started as a C, I'll be honest.
That happened in Florence, Oregon on November 12, 1970. The 45-foot whale had been on the beach for 3 days before the Oregon State Highway Division decided to remove it with dynamite. They speculated that the half-ton of explosives would turn the whale into bite-sized pieces that seagulls would clean up. Instead, it launched some chunks of whale as large as 3 feet wide into the sky, which damaged property and frightened onlookers when it returned to Earth. Ever since then, Oregon has buried any whales that wash ashore.
Did you know that, Phil?
Well, I learned.
Phil, you knew that?
Yeah, yeah. I grew up outside Portland, so, you know, it's something that'd pop up in the news every once in a while.
Have you ever visited the site? They, like, have signs at the beach, like, explosive whale speech or whatever.
Explosive whale. No, they don't. I think okay. There might have been one as a joke or something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Hey, everyone. Phil here with a quick addition. While there are no plaques or signage indicating where the whale exploded on the beach, you can visit the nearby Exploding Whale Memorial Park in Florence, Oregon. So check it out next time you drive through. Okay, back to trivia.
Question 8. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil after this.
God, I wish I wouldn't even come today.
This word, this is a cooking question. This word with Swedish origins refers to a buffet of hot and cold meats, smoked and pickled fish, cheeses, salads, and more. This word with Swedish origins refers to a buffet of hot and cold meats, smoked and pickled fish, cheeses, salads, and more. Randall, did you know this one?
I think so.
Randall knows it. Rest of the room is not very confident. Hayden might have it. This
I'm
word,
very confident.
This word with Swedish origins refers to a buffet of hot and cold meats, smoked and pickled fish, cheeses, salads, and more. Brody, how you doing over there? Brody is stumped.
Let's speed up the time here.
Hide your answer, Mike. We don't want to help out Brody sitting next to you. He's on the chase. Brody might be the only person who doesn't have an answer created yet.
Like, spelling, just to reiterate. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
This word with Swedish origins refers to a buffet of hot and cold meats, smoked and pickled fish, cheeses, salads, and more. Now, Hayden, I can hear you. That means Brody can hear you. So if you're talking about...
No,
okay. I can it has tune nothing to do. Stuff out.
Okay.
Brody tunes me out all the time. Man,
I got kids.
Brody has a kid named Brody, Hayden, that he's always tuning out. Just comes natural. Brody, are you going to come up with an answer?
Does everyone have an answer?
Mike is getting bored over here.
All right. I'll write down a wrong answer.
Okay. Go ahead
and
reveal your answer.
Do you mind reading
answers.
What I have scratched out?
Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve. He crossed out charcuterie and wrote, what does that say?
Well, it must not be right. Garde-mange. It's like okay. Salads and cold.
Mange is French.
We have Mike.
Oh, is it? I don't mean.
We have Mike. What's your answer? Mike saying smorgasbord. Brody saying, what's that say, Brody?
Tapas.
Spanish. Hayden saying, what's that say?
It says smorgasbord.
It does? That does not.
Randall saying smorgasbord. Seth saying charcuterie. The correct answer is smorgasbord. We had a few folks get it right. A traditional smorgasbord was often served on a long table with food contributions from guests. Some Nordic countries presented smorgasbords in rounds that were accompanied by singing and beer. According to Scandi Kitchen, the perfect smorgasbord includes pickled herring, smoked salmon, liver pate, salami, meatballs, sausages, cheeses, breads, pickles, cake, chocolate, coffee, and wine.
And all the times I've heard that word, I never even considered it was a real thing. Like,
Absolutely a real thing. And Americans have kind of corrupted it to ending with a G instead of a D, but it's supposed to end with a D. Phil, we have two questions.
Can I ask Phil a quick question?
Yeah, what do you got?
When we turn the pod, this show into a video show,
yeah,
in 6 weeks,
that's when it's happening.
Big asterisk on that 6 weeks.
Well, we have that whatever technology they have on that show where you got to answer it with a question,
Jeopardy,
where viewers, where like we'll have a special board that must be plugged into something. And as you write, it becomes clear on the screen what you're writing.
Yeah. For, yeah.
You should tell them about the budget.
So as you write in a race and write in a race, viewers at home will see what's happening on your board.
It'll take some tinkering and, you know, some budget adjustments, but we can probably figure it out.
You know, there's probably one person in this room with the power to create the budget for that sort of thing, Steve.
That seems like a hefty budget. We have to call over.
Yeah, I think so.
Phil, give us a scoreboard update. We have two questions left.
Well, everyone's on the board now. Mike Gunong with his smorgasbord, but unfortunately, he's no longer in the game, and neither are Stephen Hayden. Wow. Yeah. 3 points apiece.
I mean, I can totally understand Hayden.
I was an emergency threat.
I can understand. But for me to not be in the... Come on now. This is unheard of.
Hayden made himself one of the game pieces out of a chew tin, hoping he'd eventually get put it up there.
Well, no, that's actually his. Corinne is him.
Well, now we're going to have to wipe Hayden off for Randall, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Shut
Nat.
Up, Phil.
And then still in the game is Brody Henderson with 4 points, Seth Morris with 5, and Randall is in first place with 6 points.
Ooh, he blew past
Randall.
That.
Okay, two questions left. Mm. Question 9, the topic is fishing. This brand, whose name is the combination of two states, makes products like Altera trolling motors and Talon shallow water anchors. This brand, whose name is the combination of two states.
I never realized that.
Seth wrote very cocky.
Makes products like Altera trolling motors and Talon shallow water anchors.
I've never been so sure of something in my life.
Randall, are you as sure as Seth is?
I think I got it.
Okay. Brody, you look like you have it.
Oh, yeah.
Hayden, you going to get this one right?
Yeah, I'm playing for my average now.
Steve?
Yeah, I got that. But Seth's even rocking cockily. You notice that? Like
a cock. Oh, yeah. Like a no, I always rock. I got like restless leg syndrome.
Seems like the room is going to do well. Again, the question is, this brand, whose name is the combination of two states, makes products like Altera trolling motors and Talon shallow water anchors. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Minn Kota, Mike without an answer. The rest of the room saying Minn Kota, they got it. The correct answer is Minn Kota. Minn Kota was founded by O.G. Schmidt in 1934. He invented the world's first gear-driven electric trolling motor in Fargo, North Dakota. Because the city was on the border of Minnesota and North Dakota, he decided to call the brand Minn Kota. Hmm. We have one question left. Where does that leave us now, Phil?
That leaves us with Seth having 6 points and Randall having 7.
Okay, we need Randall to get this one wrong, Seth to get it right, to go to overtime.
Only
and hear
if
the
we
want to
go
sounders.
To overtime. I don't think any of that
can
needs
I,
to
can
happen.
Can I quick write this question?
I'm interested in the overtime sounder.
What is Seth's mother's birthday?
Question 10. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Josh Ringsmooth. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Giant water bugs are more commonly known by this intimidating nickname. Giant water bugs are more commonly known
oh, man.
By this intimidating nickname.
I don't think I've ever seen a more baffled room.
Neither Seth nor Randall have an answer. Again, the topic is woodsmanship. Giant water bugs are more commonly known by this intimidating nickname.
Is Skitter Bug?
Nobody.
don't write anything.
Nobody has created an answer yet. Randall wants Seth to not answer the question out of protesting it. Again, giant water bugs are more commonly known by this intimidating nickname.
I know what you're talking about.
You think you got this one right?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Randall, is there any chance you come up with the right answer?
No.
Seth is one of the only people who has created an answer. Seth, how do you feel about your answer?
I don't feel good.
Okay.
But it's an answer.
Looking for the intimidating nickname for giant water bugs. Randall, you're just giving up. You're not going to come up with an answer?
I wrote something down, but I'm very confident that it's not the correct answer.
Does everybody have an answer? Hayden?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying water devils. Mike without an answer. Brody saying water scorpion. Hayden saying water striders. Randall saying man of war. Seth saying Helgermite. Nobody got it right. The correct answer is toe biter.
Oh, I knew that. I didn't know that, but yeah, I remember that now.
That's what a toe
biter. So that was a kind of a downer way for Randall to win.
It was a bummer way to go out.
I'll take it.
Duh-duh.
I'm still.
Other nicknames for giant water bugs include alligator ticks and alligator fleas. They are large aquatic insects that primarily use their two pincers to capture and hold prey. However, as their nickname implies, they will attack humans who step too close to them. Coyote Peterson voluntarily got stung by one on his YouTube channel and described the pain as though his toe got stung by a wasp and then had a brick dropped on it.
Nah, because I got, remember I got bit by, was any of you guys there and I got bit by that one?
A water bug or a toe biter?
Oh, yeah, it hurt.
We're thinking about the same thing here. They're like this big, enormous pincers.
I got bit by one in Kentucky.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And how'd that feel?
Hurt.
Real bad?
Scared the dickens out of me.
And what would you compare it to?
Wasn't as bad as a bullet ant.
Okay. Not much is.
No.
I think alligator tick is a more intimidating name than toe biter.
I think it's a less used one, though. I think the toe biter is more common. Randall is our winner. Randall, you got, what, 7 correct answers?
I don't know. Did I?
Yes, you did, Randall.
Well done, Randall. Hit the Shelby index.
Dripping with enthusiasm.
I'm still...
Isn't it, like, weird that it's so much more fun when I win?
I'm so...
to me, it just... I don't know why. Is it just me? Or does it seem so much more fun?
I'm kind of feeling that, too, Steve.
I'm just so angry that I erased blue catfish for alligator gar with, like, 5 seconds left. It'd
been a runaway victory, then. Question. Randall, what happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be?
I would like this money to go to the Little Miami Conservancy, which is an organization that does habitat restoration and advocacy for the Little Miami River. It's a wild and scenic river outside of Cincinnati, Ohio, and it's where I learned to fish, and yeah, I received that suggestion from a friend. It's a good organization doing good work, and so that's where I'd like it to go.
Great donation. I think usually every time you've won, you've gone TRCP.
Mm-hmm. I have.
But now you're going the Little Miami... What is it? Little Miami?
The Little Miami Conservancy.
Hell of a game, Randall.
Well done, Randall.
Nothing pretty about it. You scratched it out. You won. There's no arguing it. Just a regular win.
Mike, thank you for joining us. We're going to have to talk to the National Park Service about their definitions of petroglyphs and pictographs. Direwolves. We'll get in contact with them. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.